Log Talk Radio.
You're about to listen to the
D-O-C-R, the voice of the Canadian Rockies. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications, Guru Nostra.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madam and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. Hailing from our home base deep under the frozen tundra of the Canadian Rockies in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Home of the Calgary Stampede, the greatest outdoor show on earth. Tonight, we shall examine the world at large. Conflicts to finance, religion to fanaticism, riches and taxes, and we invite your calls and opinions.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Before we get to this week's news, special shout outs to the birthday girl, TAS. Happy birthday, Sugar Plum Princess. And of course, the Southeast Brickies much better half and the mother of TAS. Hope you are well. Glad you could make it. To the BC Dreamcatcher, hope you land a longer stay next time. And the Scottish Lass, of course, you are in our thoughts. Okie dokie, email time.
Email, Governor.
And first out of the chute tonight, Becky from Dortmund, Germany. VOCR, thanks for your daily news links. I'm currently serving in Germany, and all local businesses around the Brit and US bases are very nervous at losing business when the bases begin closing. It is like a ghost town when units deploy. Stores are boarded up, streets in disrepair. Europe depends on cash injection that Western base forces provide. So keep reporting. Thanks. Well, thanks, Becky. We shall keep an eye out on the story, I assure you, and we will report it as we hear it. Julia from Kamloops, British Columbia. Love your pipeline stories. Keep them coming. That's it? Oh, okay. Great, Julia. We shall continue to follow the pros and cons of the pipeline, both east and west and west to east, and, of course, XL to Texas and beyond. We shall also be keeping a close eye on those groups who mask themselves behind citizen action groups, those agent provocateurs like the Tide Organization or the Kennedy Water Foundations, whose only purpose is to continue holding the United States fuel dependent on untrustworthy suppliers. Ron from Manchester, England. My pal just told me about your show and I'm addicted. Well, that's great, Ron. Your information and opinion is a refreshing change to the humdrum of mainstream media. I enjoy your shots at them. Do you follow British politics? Yes, Ron, we do follow British politics, but unfortunately much of it gets lost in the America's translation because of the historical and complicated parliamentary system. Canada understands parliament because having been a past colony of Great Britain, we have maintained the parliamentary system, but to the Republic of the United States, it seems so foreign. So keep listening for those UK news stories, Ron, and of course, keep reading the VOCR dailies for our special twist on the UK news. It's time for a pause. When we return, Guru says, oh yeah, you don't want to miss this one.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God go I. There is more than saying that many citizens are 2 paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, don't forget those who are less fortunate. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God go I.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockies on blogtalkradio.com.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers on TerraJet Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Guru Nostra.
For those of you who had tuned in Monday night for our live show and wondered what on earth was going on, we were being hit with denial of services and forms of censor through the internet, and unfortunately our system succumbed to that attack because frankly we just weren't ready. But tonight we are. So tonight we will bring you a Saturday night special with those stories that were being censored, along with many other pieces of really juicy, interesting information. We invite your calls. We'd love to debate some of these issues with you. So, remember the phone number, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
It's not about the bad guys, no, it's just all about the lead. It's like, solely, that chunk of metal did the crime. That's like saying, solely, that whore made me fat. Stuff coming lately from the White House to take away the good guy's freedom and the right to protect ourselves, with the most naive notion that the bad guys, who ignore the laws, that all of a sudden they're going to follow some new law.
But,
well, just to... Let me put it this way. Israel is a strong friend of Israel's.
A culture
of scientific innovation. I just noticed that I jumped the gun here.
It would cost about the same as what we would spend over the course of 10 years. It would cost what it would cost us.
Let me be absolutely clear.
Of all the objectives we seek, first and foremost is the establishment of lasting world peace. We know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong. It is when they are weak that tyrants are tempted.
The fact is, we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator. Now,
even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. Survival of our friends is in danger. And yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. If the press is awaiting a declaration of war before it imposes the self-discipline of combat conditions, then I can only say that no war ever posed a greater threat to our security. If you are awaiting a finding of clear and present danger, then I can only say that the danger has never been more clear, and its presence has never been more imminent.
Oh, America, send more like Ted Cruz, please. We need them.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God go I. There is more than saying that many citizens are 2 paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, don't forget those who are less fortunate. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God go I.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Looking to contact the show?
VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287. And now, a weekly opinion from Guru Saves.
And good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Sunday, March the 31st, 2013. It is 9 degrees Celsius here in Calgary, 48 degrees Fahrenheit for our American friends. We are live, and let me tell you what's happening here, because we've had a number of queries as to what the heck is going on. When we broadcast live Monday night, we had a denial of service and were taken off the air. And since that time, we've taken several steps and managed to find our way through the battleland. So we are live. It is 20 minutes to 4. Or 15:40 Sunday afternoon here in Calgary. And we're hoping everybody out there in the big bad internet world is having an absolute marvy time. This week in Christian history, Jesus of Nazareth, the Roman named King of the Jews, Son of God, the people's Messiah, victoriously entered Jerusalem and is hailed as the people's Messiah, yet seen by Jewish priests and Romans as a troublemaker. Convicted by Pontius Pilate and crucified amongst common thieves by the Romans, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead as Lazarus was raised from the dead. Divine intervention. For Catholics and Christians alike, it is a holy time, a moment to pause and reflect on teachings from over 2,000 years ago. It is a time for peace. Unfortunately, to our enemies, it is also a time for insecurity, a soft underbelly of the Western world.
It's not about the bad guys. No, it's just all about the lead. It's like, solely, that chunk of metal did the crime. That's like saying, solely, that whore made me that. Stuff coming lately from the White House to take away the good guy's freedom and the right to protect ourselves with the most naive notion that the bad guys who ignore the laws, that all of a sudden they're going to follow some new law.
Let me put it this way. Israel is a strong friend of Israel's.
A culture of scientific innovation.
I just noticed that I jumped the gun here.
It would cost about the same as what we would spend over the course of 10 years. It would cost what it would cost us.
Let me be absolutely clear.
Of all the objectives we seek, first and foremost is the establishment of lasting world peace. We know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong. It is when they are weak that tyrants are tempted.
The fact is, we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
There is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. Survival of our friends is in danger. And yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. And its presence has never been more imminent.
Oh, America, send more like Ted Cruz, please. We need them.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
So it would appear that President Obama has made his first and probably last grand appearance in Israel. His visit seemed to be fraught with regional negative opinion, a demonstration sprouting up across the Middle East and bombs and death raining around him, as he remained what appeared to be oblivious or ignorant of the regional and historical sensitivities. Obama's trip was not without incident. The presidential beast broke down. No, not Michelle, his bomb-proof limo. Michelle only breaks down when she can't spend enough taxpayer dollars on trips and duties. Speaking of trips, with the White House still closed to the public and other sequestered cutbacks looming, the Obamas surely are not cutting back much on their spending. Amazing how the press avoid discussing the costs of the Obama girl's vacation on the taxpayers' money once again. It is the Paris and Nicole of the White House, if you will, better known as Sasha and Mila. In other words, White House girls gone wild. This time, they are at the Atlantis Resort in Bahamas. However, they've also been seen vacationing at in Idaho, spending a portion of their spring break skiing at Sun Valley, where they spend this weekend. Now they've been photographed skiing, it's all confirmed. Both reports could be true. The Obama daughters could have spent the first half of the week in the Bahamas before leaving for Idaho. But that would be a crying shame, wouldn't it? Meanwhile, the White House remains closed to the public as the Secret Service is said to lack the funds necessary to keep the building open to all the millions of citizens. Wonder how would they will clothe and feed their children, huh? Those millions of citizens that couldn't afford a vacation, couldn't even imagine a ski holiday in Idaho. Here's a little bit of interesting news that came across the wire and, of course, was suppressed by mainstream media. A unique Colorado Air National Guard unit is keeping its eye on the skies for North Korean missiles after Kim Jong-un reportedly ordered its short and long-range missile batteries to stand by for attacks on U.S. bases in South Korea and the Pacific. Sky News reports that the young North Korean leader met with his top generals late Wednesday night and signed the order in response to a show of force by the United States, which sent two nuclear-capable B-2 bombers to participate in a military exercise with South Korea in recent days. Now, Jong-un earlier had nullified the 53 armistice agreement and threatened to nuke the United States and begin an all-out war. Although North Korea isn't believed to yet have the right combination of warheads or long-range missiles to hit the U.S. mainland, the Pentagon is taking, of course, no chances. The military is deploying additional ground-based missile interceptors to the California and Alaskan areas. North Korea's shrill public pronouncements underscore the need for the U.S. to continue to take prudent steps to defeat any future North Korean ICBM. According to Defense for Policy Undersecretary James Miller, the 137th Space Warning Squadron, based in Greeley, Colorado, is at the forefront of missile launch detection, and it's the only squadron monitoring for incoming threats that is 100% mobile and self-sustaining. With equipment mounted inside a fleet of large semi-trucks, that can be deployed worldwide to provide real-time nuclear attack warnings and analysis on strikes that occur anywhere in the world. Commander Thomas McKenna told KUNC Radio that North Korea's recent threats make missile warning systems as important today as during the height of the Cold War. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this story. So here's a follow-up to kind of warm the cockles of your heart. In late news, the "Don't tug on Superman's cape, don't spit in the wind, and you don't pull the mask off the Lone Ranger." And, as two educators have recently learned, it is also generally good advice to avoid stomping on Jesus and the American flag in public schools. The Florida Atlantic University instructor who asked students to step on the word Jesus has been placed on administrative leave on the same day that the high school teacher in South Carolina who stomped on an American flag in front of his students way back in December finally resigned. The incident in South Carolina first flared up when Scott Compton, an honors English teacher at Chaplin High School in Chaplin, South Carolina, was placed on a long-term administrative leave after he threw an American flag on the floor and stomped on it in front of the students, even though the teacher has been dismissed. The Florida Atlantic University should be ashamed of themselves, and the professor who demanded that students stomp on the name of Jesus should be struck from the teaching register. And if not a born citizen, he should be granted persona non grata. But there again, that could be a little harsh, couldn't it?
Time for a break. We'll be right back. Want to make a statement? Phone lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
We're a nation of immigrants. We're the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the ones who wanted a better life. The driven ones. The ones who woke up at night hearing that voice telling them that life in the place called America could be better. They came not just in pursuit of the riches of this world, but for the richness of this life. Freedom. Freedom of religion. Freedom to speak their mind. Freedom to build a life. And yes, freedom to build a business with their own hands.
We can reform our tax code in a way that is fair and responsible. Which, by the way, means let's stop giving tax breaks to businesses that ship jobs and factories overseas. Let's reward companies that create jobs and manufacturing right here in the United States of America.
On air live, 347-324-3287.
In all fairness, this was an unannounced broadcast that we chose to throw out on the airwaves, mainly for archive listening to our listeners in protection of the content of the show. As we mentioned a little earlier, we've had issues with denial of service, and this is about the best that we can come up with. So we do understand if you are only listening to us by archive. We do understand if the actual phone lines are silent, and I do apologize. We did have the fella down in the virtual studio by the name of Dirk Diggler. You gotta love that name, huh? Dirk Diggler. Unfortunately,
His patience ran thin while he was waiting for the live portion of the show to come on. And he hit us right at the beginning, so it's about 7 minutes of beginning stuff. Each week we search out and receive all kinds of links and story leads. And sometimes it is necessary from time to time to hand off the task and kind of disconnect from the hive, a light reboot, if you will. And now this came at a very opportune time because after our concerns of the Monday night show, we literally shut down service for about 3 days, which means the VOCR radio website was not updated for a couple of days. And we shut down the system to strategize for the next 4 months, to be honest with you. We had a kind of a internet coffee clutch meetings on a daily basis. It worked out very well. The core of the VOCR are a great bunch of people. They pick up the slack and maintain the service in some incredibly difficult times. Bringing the type of information that the VOCR does to the internet is not met with open arms from the administration or others. So with the volume of links we search each day and the input from readers and listeners, I find personally that it is too easy to get tunnel vision on issues affecting us from around the world. Now, if you look up on blogtalkradio.com this afternoon and this evening, you'll see a number of shows that are focusing on the New World Order and the Illuminati and the fake governments around the world, and also fake religions, probably. Terrorism and counterterrorism is a very deep and dark, murky water. The conspiracy theorists will tell you that. Who knows what is the truth and what is fiction anymore? How can we qualify the veracity of mainstream media news? Bias is a terrible affliction. When attempting to educate the masses, we see the hatred taught against Christians in the Middle East. We know all too well those who hate Jews. With cyber psyops and amateur or professional agent provocateurs slithering through the underbelly of the beast, bottom feeding on the murky waters of the internet and infecting new styles on mainstream media, TV and radio channels, mainstream media have resorted to becoming rating whores and a propaganda tool for social remapping. Now, my question is this, and this is usually where we end up having technical difficulties. My question is this. Someone terminated JFK. Someone brought down the Nixon administration. Someone had enough power to have Bill Clinton impeached. Yet Obama remains unscathed. The most recent sensational story that is out on the internet now is that Obama hid his homosexuality from public scrutiny. So let me get this straight. Obama's gay. He's a traitor. He's a Muslim plant. He's a Manchurian candidate and a socialist, while maintaining his deceit of not being eligible as set forth in the Constitution. Wow. Do you believe President Obama to be duly elected and in compliance with the constitutional requirements? We'd love to hear what you have to say. But if you are not live with us, obviously that makes it difficult. So I tell you what, we will open up the 24-hour call line and you can drop your have your says right on the answer. So 240-696-6030, 240-696-6030, and we will capture your comments, if you choose to leave any, and we will play them on the next VOCR. So if the current president was criminally responsible for identity fraud or anything which some believe, how does he remain immune? If, in fact, laws have been broken in such a manner, how does someone remain immune? I personally can't see it possible, but I could be wrong.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Thank you. hundreds of thousands of Americans who serve their country. Border Patrol agents, FBI agents, civilians who work at the Pentagon, all will suffer significant pay cuts and furloughs. All of this will cause a ripple effect throughout our economy.
Governor Romney's argument is, we're not fixed, so fire him and put me in. It is true, we're not fixed. When President Obama looked into the eyes of that man who said in the debate, I had so much hope for you, but I don't now. I thought he was going to cry. Because he knows that it's not fixed.
Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. The survival of our friends is in danger. And yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. If the press is awaiting a declaration of war, before it imposes the self-discipline of combat conditions, then I can only say that no war ever posed a greater threat to our security. If you are awaiting a finding of clear and present danger, then I can only say that the danger has never been more clear, and its presence has never been more imminent.
Peace is made by the fact of strength, economic, military, and strategic. Peace is lost when such strength disappears, or just as bad, is seen by an adversary as this.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night and decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator. Now,
the Cambridge police acted stupidly in arresting somebody when there was already proof that they were in their own home. There is a long history in this country of African Americans and Latinos being stopped by law enforcement disproportionately.
I'm not here to say that race relations have always been perfect on either side, but we all make mistakes. Now, maybe it's only a matter of putting the carbon paper in backwards in the typewriter, or burning the toast, or missing a business appointment. You make that kind of a mistake and you say, well, nobody's perfect, I'm only human. But a police officer's mistakes are a matter of life and death, and his decisions are made in a split second. Give him some credit for having the guts to make those decisions, his job and his life riding on each one of them. And keep in mind, he's not asking for your applause. He's only a guy doing his job. All he'd really like is a little common courtesy and some respect.
How dramatic is that, huh? Let's have a look around the world and see what we got. Well, Cypriot banks, of course, are collapsing on an everyday basis. They reopened Thursday with temporary measures placed on transactions despite the EU IMF bailout. Now, apparently, Cypriot financiers officials are saying initial losses will be about 37.5%, but up to 22.5% more could be taken if bank needs further capitalization. So they could lose up to 60% of savings accounts. That's amazing. The official said on Saturday that deposits over £100,000, that's about, €100,000, that'd be about £84,000, which would again be about $160,000. At the country's largest bank, will lose 37.5 of their value after being converted into bank shares. Wow, I mean, that's a little tacky, don't you think? Huh? Well, Cyprus agreed Monday to make depositors contribute in order to secure the $10 billion bailout from the Eurozone. So banks opened in Cyprus on Thursday. Thursday. For the first time in 2 weeks, the transactions were subject to new regulations. Cash withdrawals from banks had been limited to 300 euros a day, while only 1,000 euros in cash can be taken out of the country. And there are restrictions on the use of credit cards abroad, and Cypriot authorities loosened some restrictions on the use of checks on Friday, but only to allow payments to government agencies of up to 5,000 euro. Cyprus Central Bank has also imposed limits on the money that can be taken beyond the control of the Cypriot authorities, a reference to the northern part of the island under Turkish control. And after an initial estimate that the capital controls would be in place for a matter of days, the government then warned later in the week they could last for as long as a month. Capital controls in Iceland remain in place more than 5 years after its economic crisis. Vice President Biden and his lovely limo bills. $321,665. If you think Paris is expensive, the City of Light costs a lot more when you're traveling with the Vice President. Recent documents posted to a government website give a rare glimpse of Vice President Joe Biden's overseas travel expenses. Official business took him last month to Europe, a trip that included a bill of $585,000 for his one-night stay in Paris, although on the receipt was $321,665 from a limousine company and $459,338.65 for a hotel stay in London. And while Biden was only in each town for one night, the London hotel bill, for example, included 136 rooms for multiple nights for his advance team, according to the documents posted on the website for the Federal Business Opportunities and unearthed by the conservative magazine, The Weekly Standard. Now, whether or not these figures were posted online intentionally remain unclear, as similar reports for previous overseas trips could not be located on the same website. North Korea and Kim Jong-un are again attempting to play politics, this time with the UN, who claim North Korea are violating citizens' rights and utilizing slave work camps to build opulent dwellings for the rich while the poor starve. North Korea say the citizens have a very good life and all is well, yet stories continue to emerge of the horrors of North Korean prisons. Another leader who is delusional and clearly out of sync with the realities of the world. North Korea is a very dangerous place to be in the world and are playing a very, very, very serious game. And I only hope that peace is the outcome, although I fear that a military conflict is almost upon us, either by North Korea or with Iran, who continues to song and dance to UN and Western powers, stalling for time while scientists prepare certain death to Israeli cities and possibly elsewhere. Iran's nuclear ambition is almost complete, and when it is, there is no doubt that the West shall be drawn into the conflict in the Middle East, which could possibly be nuclear. So now we have North Korea and Iran, both providing some very serious considerations to the safety of the United States. Story out of Karachi, Pakistan. Former President Pervez Musharraf returned home on last Sunday, hoping to make a political comeback despite Taliban death threats and looming arrest warrants. By judging of the lackluster crowd at the airport to greet him, his biggest challenge could be his waning popularity. His return comes as Pakistan is poised to transition from one democratically elected government to another. A first for the country. It has experienced three coups since its 1947 inception. After years on the margins of Pakistan politics, Musharraf is seeking to rebuild his image, hoping to capitalize on his electorate frustrated with 5 years of rising inflation, rolling blackouts, and security problems. Musharraf, a four-star general who was chief of the army, took power in 1999 coup, and his military-led regime steered the country for nearly a decade until he was forced to step down in 2008 as president. Confronted with mounting criticism and widespread protest after he tried to dismiss a popular chief justice, he left facing impeachment by the newly elected parliament. He later left the country and has been living between London and Dubai ever since. Must be a good life, huh? The former Pakistani strongman had promised to return to his homeland many times before. He finally followed through, boarding a plane in Dubai with supporters and journalists and flying to the southern port metropolis of Karachi, the largest city in the nation. Stepping out of the terminal surrounded by police and supporters, he portrayed himself as a savior, seeking to return the country to the prosperity and stability that supporters say marked his presidency. Do you remember Boris Berezovsky, the Russian gazillionaire, the guy that ran foul of Putin, the one that died by hanging? Well, the postmortem examination has found Russian tycoon Boris Berezovsky's death was consistent with hanging. Mr. Berezovsky, 67, was found dead by an employee on Saturday on a bathroom floor at his home in Berkshire. The examination found nothing to indicate a violent struggle, and more tests are being carried out. Thames Valley Police said the investigation of the property would continue for several days. They'd earlier said that there was no evidence so far that a third party was involved. So they're going to do all the toxicology and histologies and all of that. It'll probably take a couple of weeks, and it'll come back. Whoever did this, because no doubt it was done to him, whoever did this is a professional. As federal agencies scramble to avert a delay sequester-tied furloughs, the Obama administration continues to spend millions of dollars on foreign aid to the Palestinians and seeks millions more, despite past efforts by Congress to freeze the money. The State Department confirmed this month the administration has moved forward with $500 million in aid and is trying to secure another $200 million from Congress. Department spokesman Victoria Nuland says the aid is important because an economically viable Palestinian Authority would help regional peace and security. My God, what the heck is this woman smoking? The administration confirmed that transfers, as President Obama, along with Secretary of State John Kerry, toured the Middle East last week. Obama met with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, as well as top Israeli officials. But lawmakers have heavily scrutinized a number of foreign aid transactions, given the fiscal crunch facing Washington. The Capitol was awash last week with memos and updates from federal agencies scrambling to manage sequester cuts and cushion their staff from the impact of furloughs. After initial warnings that furlough notices would start to go out for thousands of civilian employees at the Pentagon last Thursday, the Defense Department announced it would delay those notices for about 2 weeks while it continues to analyze the situation. Attorney General Eric Holder also said in a memo that he was using his limited authorities to shift around funds and give the Bureau of Prisons $150 million to avoid furloughing correctional workers at federal prisons. This, he said, would have created serious threats to the lives and safety of our staff, inmate, and the public. But he said he was still evaluating whether his department can avoid other furloughs. Foreign aid to the Palestinians alone, though easily eclipsed the amount Holder used to spare the Correctional Workers Division, Nuland explained that the U.S. has moved forward with $295.7 million in fiscal 2012 funds, part of which is for the economic development and humanitarian assistance, and part of which is for law enforcement aid. It boggles the mind. Now, President Obama challenged Congress Monday to finish the job of finalizing legislation aimed at overhauling the nation's immigration system. With members of the House and Senate away on spring break, Obama made his most extensive remark on the difficult issues in more than a month, saying he expects the lawmakers to take up debate on it as quickly and that he hopes that they sign into law as soon as possible. Fighting wars is expensive, but so is winding down a war. As the U.S. prepares to ship most of its weapons, vehicles, and other equipment home after more than a decade in Afghanistan, the bill for the move will be a staggering $6 billion. Rusting Soviet tanks and guns still dot the Afghan landscape, serving as a bleak memorial to violence in the 1980s, and perhaps a spur to NATO forces to ensure there are no similar reminders from the last decade of conflict. The U.S. military has pledged it will level any bases not handed over to the Afghan forces and fly out, drive out, or scrap the weapons, equipment, and tens of thousands of Humvees and expensive MRAPs, mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles, it has shipped since 2001. To do this, it must sort through 100,000 shipping containers and strip down nearly 30,000 vehicles scattered in hundreds of bases across Afghanistan mountains and deserts, all by a 2014 deadline, while making sure nearly 70,000 U.S. soldiers still in Afghanistan are not left short of equipment they need to fight. Now, we know that John Kerry, the new U.S. Secretary of State, made a surprise visit to Kabul hours after the U.S. military handed over disputed prison to Afghan control, reviving hopes that the often fractious allies may be able to smooth ties ahead of a crucial election and the departure of NATO troops. Kerry, who has a long and, by U.S. standards, unusually positive relationship with Karzai, said he was on the same page as the Afghan leader when it came to peace talks with the Taliban, and then added that he was impressed by Afghan effort to ensure a safe, secure presidential vote next spring. Karzai cannot stand for election again, so the country will get a new leader, and after more than a decade under the rule of a man who went from darling of the U.S. establishment in the days following the overthrow of the Taliban to a reluctant partner and now sometimes antagonist. Kerry's smooth visit came just a few days after a tumultuous trip by the new defense secretary, Chuck Hagel. The planned handover of Bagram Prison during Hagel's visit was cancelled after Karzai said he would release some prisoners. And then a joint press conference was called off after the Afghan leader suggested the Taliban were colluding with the U.S. But in Monday's cheerful hour-long joint meeting with the media, Karzai appeared to back away from his comments and added that today was a very good day. Hours earlier, the top U.S. and NATO commander in Afghanistan, General Joseph Dunford, handed over the Bagram jail after signing an agreement with Afghan Defense Minister Bismillah Khan. The deal was believed to contain details on the future detention of high-profile Taliban prisoners, although unlike an earlier agreement, it will not be made public. Dunford said the transfer was a milestone in Afghan efforts to control their own security after more than a decade in which foreign troops have led the fight against the Taliban. Now, as we mentioned earlier, North Korea has claimed a state of war with the South, and it's getting pretty depressing out there listening to this guy blah, blah, blah about a state of war. I mean, really, haven't we had enough of that?
Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. You didn't build that. You didn't build that.
Oh.
You didn't build that.
What do we got here?
It's an air cannon for shooting marshmallows.
You didn't build that.
Mitt Romney strikes me so hard, makes me feel like Shirley Sharon.
Out of context.
Those words aren't mine.
Private sector is doing fine.
Feels good when the economy's weak.
Responding with a national security leak.
Osama bin Laden, I killed.
And that was a mission
you didn't build.
Didn't build that.
A Supreme Court ruling being heralded as the most important since Bush versus Gore in 2000.
So the bottom line here is the Supreme Court has upheld the health care law.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. You got a business. That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
This is the VOC. Our radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
This year, in this election, we are called to reaffirm our values and our commitments, to hold them against a hard reality, and see how we're measuring up. The legacy of our forebears and the promise of future generations. And fellow Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, I say to you tonight, we have more work to do.
That
America is a place where if you work hard and play by the rules, you can get ahead.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And North Korea, well, of course, we talked about them a little earlier. They said they're entering into a state of war with South Korea in the latest escalation of rhetoric against its neighbors in the U.S. A statement promised stern physical actions against any provocative act. Now, North Korea have threatened attacks almost daily since it was sanctioned for a third nuclear test in February. So, however, few think the North could risk a full-blown conflict. It has technically been at war with the South since 1953. No peace treaty has ever been signed. Another great move by the United Nations. An armistice at the end of the Korean War was never turned into a full treaty. The United Nations continued the band-aid of the 48th parallel, and that was it. The North carried out its third nuclear test on the 12th of February, which led to the imposition of some fresh major sanctions. The annual U.S.-Korean military exercise have also taken place, which angered Pyongyang even further. A North Korean statement released on Saturday said, "From this time on, the North-South relations will be entering the state of war, and all issues raised between the North and the South will be handled accordingly. The long-standing situation of the Korean Peninsula being neither at peace nor at war is finally over." In Washington, Caitlin Hayden, a spokesman for the National Security Council, said the U.S. had seen reports of a new and non-constructive statement from North Korea. A new and non-constructive statement. What a way to say that, huh? She said that we take the threat seriously and remain in close contact with the South Korean ally. While North Korea has made multiple threats against both the U.S. and South Korea in recent weeks, including warning of a preemptive nuclear strike on the U.S. and the scrapping of the Korean War armistice. Yes, these are dangerous times. And if that doesn't complicate things, let's give you a scoop. Sources, Syrian opposition have said on Saturday that a ship carrying Iranian arms sailing under a Tanzanian flag was in the Red Sea on its way to deliver weapons to forces loyal to Syrian President Bashar Assad. Saudi media outlet Al Arabiya are reporting this. The ship was expected to enter the Suez Canal on Saturday, according to the report, and a member of the Syrian coalition urged Egyptian authorities to take decisive action and search the ship, citing decisions of the Arab League, which provided for standing by the Syrian people. Syria vented its wrath at Qatar and the Arab League on Wednesday for handing the seat over to an Arab League summit in Doha to a Syrian opposition coalition trying to topple Assad. It said the League had compromised its values for the sake of Gulf Arab and Western interests when it gave Syria's seat to the opposition Syrian National Coalition on Tuesday. Qatar has funded political opposition groups and is believed to be funneling money and weapons to rebels in Syria. Well, the cost of America and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan could now reach as much as U.S. $6 trillion, or $75,000 for every household. This according to Harvard University. Wow. $75,000 in debt to each household for the cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The calculation, which includes the cost of spiraling veterans' care bills and the future interest on war loans, paints a grim picture of how America's future at home and abroad has been mortgaged to the two conflicts entered into by George W. Bush in 2001 and 2003. "There will be no peace dividend," is the stark conclusion from the 22-page report from the Kennedy School of Government, and the legacy of Iraq and Afghanistan wars will be cost per persistent for decades. The U.S. is preparing for a final withdrawal from Afghanistan, a decision that Barack Obama trumpeted in his State of the Union address as a sign that the U.S. was finally moving forward after a sapping decade of war. However, the working paper by Linda Bilmes makes clear that the true legacy of the two conflicts, which have cost U.S. $2 trillion in actual outlay today, may not yet begin to be appreciated. There's a sense that we are turning the corner, but unfortunately, the legacy of the wars, because of decisions about the way we fought and funded the wars, means we will be paying the costs for a long time to come, according to Professor Bilmes. We may be mentally turning the page, but we are certainly not from a budgetary or financial perspective. Now, the report highlights the rise in the long-term cost of treating veterans who both survive in greater numbers and seek treatment for a wider selection of ailments. More than half of the 1.56 million troops who have been discharged to date have received medical treatment and been granted benefits for the rest of their lives, a report has said. It is also said that real bills would not fall due for decades to come. The second major hidden cost of the two conflicts would be the servicing the debts incurred as a result of the unprecedented decision to pay for the wars entirely from debt while cutting taxes during wartime. Of course, the cost efforts really dwarf the reality of what had to be spent in those wars. And that is exactly what the enemy wants to do. We've come to the end of the show. I can't believe we've blown through an hour. It's been fun.
In the dead of night, when all is dark and all your daytime worries engulf you, in the dead of night, expanding your mind to the greater world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hollows of the castle walls. In the dead of night, when all is still, who will you be tonight? And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead, move it up.
Now,
We
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com for more information. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. Hey there, got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a Terror Chat Network production. www.terrorchatnet.com.